Therapy Insiders is sponsored by WebPT, the ultimate EMR. Why are they the ultimate? Well, one of the reasons is because they're going to help you with ICD-10, the transition to the new codes. You need to know it, and you probably don't know it as well as you should. Check them out at www.webpt.com/podcast to find out more about ICD-10 for a free demo and a lot more. Hello, welcome back to Therapy Insiders. Dr. Gene Chirac-Abrad here to kind of talk about something that we go back and forth on. And over the last few podcasts, you know, we've talked innovation. We've talked about technology with the Strive Labs and subscription models and things like that. And we always come back to this thought process in terms of business and marketing, especially in healthcare, of moving past the common or the traditional things like word of mouth or lunches or things like that. And yes, they have their place, but for a profession that is so evidence-based medicine, that's so gung-ho and rightfully so, again, for evidence behind everything that is done, business and marketing, for some reason, is extremely lacking in that regard in terms of data and metrics. And instead of just kind of putting stuff out there, follow a evidence-based way of doing it. So evidence-based business, essentially, kind of what we talk about all the time. So with our businesses that we have, with UpDoc Media, where this, you know, which is part, this podcast is part of, and our other blogs and consulting service and all that, myself, you know, I have another company with Verve, Making the Arc, and learning metrics is critical to maximizing your ROI, because you don't want to waste money marketing. So I read a lot. I read a lot of blogs. I go through so many resources because there are a lot. And one of my favorites, one of my favorite people that I follow all the time is Neil Patel. And Neil puts out some incredible stuff. So I figured, hey, why not reach out to him and see if he'll join us and share some of his insights and wisdoms. And for some reason, Neil said yes. So Neil, thank you for that, and welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I really appreciate it. So look, first question I need to ask you. All right, I read a lot of books. I read a lot of blogs. And if you put together all your blogs, I'm pretty sure you could piece together like a 10-book novel, at novels at this point, a series. You put out some crazy, crazy 30,000-word blogs and things like that. Man, how do you do it, and why don't you have a book yet?
So I'm working on a book. The book comes out sometime next year, and the book is more about entrepreneurship and hustling and figuring out how to just like get shit done, succeed in life, etc.
That's awesome.
The main reason I haven't had a book yet is just finding the right partners, right? So it's like a book is a lot of work. I haven't had much time. I'm finally now freeing up some, and I found people who can help me, because it's like I don't want to end up writing a book unless I had a really good shot at hitting the New York Times bestseller list, right? So
sure. I mean, based on your blog post, you could have just printed them out and stitched them together, and that would have been a book, I would think.
I could have done that, but I wanted to give some people something else. I just don't feel right charging them for something that they can get free on the internet. Like, I just feel bad, like, personally, right?
I appreciate that, but you shouldn't, because your content is awesome. But let's take a step back. So for our audience that might not know you for some reason, let's kind of go through where you started, how you started, because entrepreneurship is big. We talk about that all the time, but not everyone is really an entrepreneur, and I think that's a hard thing, a hard delineage for a lot of people, because just because you have a business doesn't necessarily make you an entrepreneur. Not every business is a startup. And so where did you start, and how have you grown in your entrepreneurship?
Yeah, so where I started was when I was a little kid, I created a job board it was like monster.com, and I created it because I was trying to find a job on Monster. I couldn't find one, but I found that they were a publicly traded company, they were doing well. So I was like, let me just copy them and try to make 1% of what they're making. And that's how I got started. But when I created the job board and popped it up, no one came to the website. And I was like, why? You put up a website, don't people just come? I realized that you have to do something called marketing. So
Wow, that's oh man, that's a good intro to that. So if you build it, they won't come. Is that what you're saying?
that's right.
Oh my
And I had
God.
to learn how to do marketing because I eventually lost all my money building the site, paying marketing agencies that didn't provide results, and I got good at it. And then from there, I created an agency and got some clients. I was doing cold calling to land and some clients. I also started creating some software companies, and then I started blogging on marketing. But yeah, my journey all started because I created a website, and I thought if you pop up a website, people just naturally come. I was so naive.
Well, that thought permeates through a lot of companies because you're so ingrained in your idea and your concept and your business because if you really believe in it, you feel like everyone else should, but that's not necessarily the case. You could have the best thing in the world, but nobody knows about it. Nobody knows it's the best thing in the world.
That's right.
So how did you go about learning marketing and growing and getting an audience?
Well, the way I ended up learning how to do it was just by practicing myself. So I would create a blog post, and the first post I created, it was short. It wasn't even 500 words, and it probably took 3 days, 4 days of work. And then I popped it up, and it didn't do that well, and I was like, oh, right. So trial and error. I learned that more detailed content gets more shares. At that time when I started blogging, there really wasn't a Twitter or a Facebook. But yeah, I learned how to like get on Facebook and how that can drive traffic, and Twitter and sites like Dig and Reddit were popular. Right, it was just testing it all out.
So you started testing it, you're working on it, and you kind of laughed that it took you 3 days to do 500 words because it probably takes you, what, 10 minutes now to do 500 words. So
Yeah, exactly.
you're kind of trial and error, you're working on it. And so as you got better, what did you find was a effective strategy to marketing? So let's say if somebody wants to build an audience or just get out there and start doing something like that, where should they start?
You know what the thing is? Social media is a great place to start. Now, I know what most people say. Oh, I don't have a social media profile or a big following, and that's okay. You can always buy it through Facebook ads or Twitter ads, and it works. But other than social media, here's the number one way you can actually drive traffic to your blog if you have no readers, no audience, no platform, etc. All you do is within your posts, right? If you're writing a 1,000, 2,000 word posts, you're probably linking out to like 20 other websites naturally within your posts. So what I would do is I would start emailing them. I would say, so let's say I was linking out to John's website. I'll say, hey John, I have to say, I'm a huge fan of yours. Your work is so awesome that I had to link out to it from my latest blog posts. Feel free to check it out. Would love to get your opinion as one of your fans. And then I'll be like, that's it. And I would just end the email with like, cheers, Neil. And then at the end of the email, I'd put PS. I'm like, if you shared my post, it wouldn't just make my year, it would make my decade or something like that, right? And usually when you send out those kind of emails, people actually share your content, and that's how you get the ball rolling.
That's one of my favorite posts that you did was where you incorporated psychology in marketing, and I think that's so big because psychology is critical, at least understanding of psychology is critical in very effective marketing because you have to know the wording you're using and how the person will feel based on what you're saying. And that's, those little PSs and things like that are huge. And especially for people that are listening right now in the medical world, you're kind of trained to elicit and get a very necessary and appropriate response based on psychology. I mean, you go to a lot of years of schooling to do that, and that should translate very well to marketing and blogging and doing like that to bring in an audience. Do you remember that post that you wrote? It's still one of my favorites.
Yeah, I even have a whole guide on psychology. Like getting into the consumer's mind, it's like 30,000 words.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was so long, but it was good. So you start incorporating these little techniques, and you said linking back. For listeners that might not necessarily know what that means, what does linking back entail, and how do you do it?
Yeah, so when I'm linking out, like if I write a post on how to take care of your dog, I'm going to create something basic, right? If it talks about how to take care of your dog, one of the things I may talk about in there is like why you should take your dog to the vet at least once a year. And I may link to article from like, I don't know, Petco that talks about, vet stuff. I don't know really any animal sites. Or I may end up talking about like how bones are good for your dog and their teeth. And I may end up linking out to like an article by Petco talking about how bones actually make a dog's enamel stronger, right? I'm making this up.
You're doing a
So
good
I'm,
job.
yeah, I'm linking out to relevant sites that back up my points in the article. So from then, when I email the site owner saying I linked to you, it's me linking to their blog article, their website, right? And I show them the posts that I created on my own website that links back to theirs. And when I ask them to share it on their profile, there's a really high chance that they do.
And that's so important because it's kind of a new level of networking at this point, because we get a lot of business owners asking us, because they hear, oh, blogging is like this new SEO thing that everyone should be blogging. And they fall into the trap of kind of what you talked about in the beginning of you create a blog and you write on it, once every 2 weeks or something for some, trivial, standard, very boring type article, and you think that's blogging, but that's not the case. You have to make connections, you have to reach out to people, and you have to put yourself out there and be consistent with it to really build your network, to really get out there and grow your business in that regard, right? You can't just hope that it's a good article, like you said.
Yep, exactly.
And it's a relationship. It's a back and forth. Like you have to show your value to somebody else that they get something out of it, and then you get something out of it in return.
Of course, right? It's all about just showing value, helping other people out, showing them why your information, your content, etc. is so great, and that you're helping them or their audience, and they're likely to help you out as well.
Exactly. So you've started a couple companies, right? KissMetrics being one of them. And QuickSprout, I believe, as well. And
Started quite a few, so KissMetrics, Crazy Egg, QuickSprout's blog. We're gonna end up creating a software on it, but I mainly focus all my time on two company or one company has two softwares, but it's owned by the same corporation. It's Crazy Egg and HelloBar.
gotcha. So you started these companies, but as the companies grew, you've also created Neil Patel, your own website and consulting, your own personal brand, right? What was your thought process between by separating yourself essentially to create your own personal business, you as a business?
The main reasoning behind it, I was just like, you know what? I have the domain name now. I've owned it for years. I would have QuickSprout would have been neilpatel.com, but I didn't. Someone else owned Neil Patel before I owned it.
Son
And
of a bitch.
exactly. And I was creating a software on QuickSprout. QuickSprout started getting a lot of traffic. So my business partner, Heathen, was like, let's turn it into a software company. I was like, all right. I'm like, I don't want to create it, but you can create the software because I don't ever create it. I'm like, I'll drive traffic and sales. You create the software. And that's how always our business partnerships spin. So I was like, well, eventually, if we create this company and once someone wants to buy it, I'll be screwed because there'll be no home for me. Home being like a blog because I actually really enjoy blogging.
Sure.
So I was like, you know what? Let me set up a blog on neilpatel.com. And that's how it got started.
And I think personally that a personal brand is very, very important to have, and it's your own identity. And I think it's leverage, and especially not everyone really wants to be a business owner, even in the healthcare realm and physical therapy. We have a lot of people that really want to be business owners, but some people want to just work, want to be clinicians. But if you want to start a blog, and all the tips that Neil gave are very important to know, but having your own personal brand is incredibly important as leverage, because if you build up a following and you bring something else to the table that's unique, that gives you a lot of uniqueness in terms of being an employee and growing and being promoted and other things like that. So I think it carries over in a lot of ways. Have you had any difficulties keeping yourself, your personal brand separate from your companies as you're growing or anything like that?
It all gets merged and combined. Like more people search for my name, Neil Patel, than they do for QuickSprout, right? So when they're finding the blog, they actually type in like Neil Patel blog, right? So it all gets combined, but you know what? The way I see my personal brand is irrelevant. I look at it more as whatever I can do to grow the corporation, that's what my main goal is. You don't build a big empire off of one person's name. Yes, I know movie stars and some people end up doing it, but in the corporate world, companies are always worth more than individual brands. Apple will always be worth more than Michael Jordan, or Google will always be worth more than Tony Robbins or whoever it may be. Doesn't mean that Tony Robbins or Michael Jordan or any of those guys did a terrible job. No, they're rock stars, right, in their own industry. But you can build a much bigger empire with a corporation. Why? It's because one person can't do everything, right? You need a good team. And to
Absolutely.
have a team, it's all about building this brand, this vision, this one company that everyone can go, oh, cool. If I have a problem, I can go Google and find the solution by just doing a search, right? Companies can move, mountains. It's hard for an individual to do so.
Right, but on the flip side of that, people relate to individuals, not necessarily companies, even though a company is a bunch of individuals, and I think that gets lost sometimes. Companies are made of people. But if you have a person that is a personal brand that people can really relate to and have a face to talk to and a voice that they know and understand and believe in, then that company becomes a lot easier to trust as well. And so as companies kind of grow like that, it's always interesting to see that they become more diversified because, like you said, if it's that school bus test, right? You want to pass the school bus test that if something ever happens to you, your company still grows. And if it's too much dependent on you, then that's not necessarily conducive for scaling and growing.
Yeah, and then the other thing too is the funny thing, these big corporations, once they start growing, they also start using personal brands to make more money. Look at Beats, right? Look at Apple, like when they have the iTunes, they'll pay a lot of celebrities to make whatever commercials they need or et cetera.
Yeah, for sure. It opens up options is what it does, and you kind of leverage those options for the biggest ROI and get creative, and so you don't get stale, because that's the goal, right? Is always to continue to grow your company and corporation, and but still hopefully leave a little personality to it and make a connection with everyday people, which is probably what makes Apple so successful, is because they connect with people's lives and make it part of a daily need essentially versus just a phone or a computer or something like that.
That's correct. Yep.
So your book is coming out on entrepreneurship. Can you tell us a little bit about it and your just overall thought process of entrepreneurs?
Yeah, so the book's called Hustle, and it comes out sometime next year. I have no idea when, but I'm assuming later part of next year. And the book is just trying to teach people how they can get from point A to point Z the quickest route, right? Just accomplish their goals. Whether it's creating a business, making money, getting that raise or promotion, or just doing whatever makes them happy in life.
Very cool. So, how long have you been writing it?
6 months now, roughly. I know that's a long time. People are like, doesn't it take only a few months to write a book? But I spend more time blogging than I do writing on the book, right? So it's time-wise, I'm kind of constrained.
Would you do it again when this one's done?
I do not know. I don't know if I'll actually be a multiple author. Like, I got a really good deal. I'm doing a blog post on how I made $500,000 from writing a book.
That's pretty
Like,
good before it
that
even
was
came
it.
out.
Yeah, that was the advance. So I was just like, eh, it'll probably be a fun blog post. And I'll talk about the process I use and how people can replicate it.
That's very cool. Are there people that you look at that you follow for advice and help you grow your own marketing skills or personal brand or anything?
There are. So I really do start looking at other marketers and people in creative spaces and entrepreneurs. And what I mean by creative spaces are like industries that we may not think of. For example, I was talking to a guy named George. He's in the medical waste industry. You know, when you go to a doctor's office, you see those needles and someone has to throw them away and dispose of it because it's hazardous,
I do.
right?
Yep.
And what we ended up doing is like he was telling me how he grew his business to be big and competing with some of the other guys because it's an old industry and the creative marketing tactics that he leveraged on the internet. So I love learning from some of these old companies because the way they compete is different than maybe you or I are used to, and I can learn a lot from them.
WebPT is the ultimate EMR for physical therapy. You know that. One of the reasons is because they know ICD-10, and I don't. So I ask Heidi Janenga, COO of WebPT. Heidi, what the heck is ICD-10?
Well, ICD-10 is diagnosis codes on steroids. We're talking more than 68,000 codes. All HIPAA-covered entities must switch to ICD-10 on October 1st, 2015, or face claim denials. That's where WebPT can help. Our intuitive ICD-10 code selector is built right into our documentation platform, thus simplifying the patient diagnosis process. I encourage all of you to check it out. Visit webpt.com/podcast to request a free online demonstration.
Have you had any mentorship? What is your thought process on mentorship?
Mentorship is great. I have one of my longtime mentors, Andy Liu, taught me how to negotiate and, you know, do business stuff. So he taught me all about business early on, like how to structure deals, how to keep both parties happy, how to keep growing your business, how to analyze the numbers, how to, you know, financially engineer your company when you're strapped for cash, etc.
Very cool. So if to kind of close out, if you had to give advice for evolving marketers, right? Because again, it's just to paint the picture in healthcare, especially private practice owners wear a lot of hats. It's kind of like being on the first level of a startup, essentially, where the CEO is the COO and the CFO and the CMO and you know, the everything officer type of thing. But that's not always necessarily the best thing, even though if you think you can do it because you know your brand better than anybody else, kind of alluding to what we talked about before, you kind of have to, as you grow, let go of things. So if you had to give these people advice or the students that are listening advice that are interested in blogging and marketing themselves and their companies, what would you tell them?
Yeah, if I was telling these people something, if you're trying to grow your blog or your company, it's to be consistent and continually learn. Sometimes things work out, sometimes they don't, but it's all about being consistent, continually pushing forward and learning and adapting. Because if you don't and you let go of the gas pedal, what you'll notice is the amount of time that you lose. I'll actually give you an example, this will be even better. I used to blog on QuickSprout, I still do, but years ago I stopped blogging for a period of a month. I got just tired of it. The traffic dipped so much that it took me 3 or 4 months to recover back to where I was before I stopped blogging for 1 month.
Wow. Yeah.
So instead of continual growth each month, I saw a dip in traffic, right? It just shows you got to be you got to continue pushing forward. And if you stop, other people will forget about you.
Yeah, you build up an audience, you build up a fan base that they kind of rely on the content for a lot of reasons. And once that consistency is gone, like you said, it's hard to get back because somebody else pops up. So Neil, awesome, man. Thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate not only you joining, but the content you put out, the 30,000 word blog posts. They've really taught me a lot as we've grown as a company based on, you know, for marketing in a lot of ways. So thanks so much for that. So if our listeners want to find you, where can they look you up?
Quicksprout.com or neilpatel.com.
What about on Twitter?
Neil Patel.
That's simple. All right, Neil, thanks so much. I really, you know, for all you guys listening, we say this a lot about our guests, but seriously, Neil is one of my bookmarks on my browser, so I check out his blog posts a lot, and they are very detailed. They incorporate a lot of actionable advice. A lot of times you read blog posts and it's just kind of conceptual in nature, but Neil has a lot of actual things you can start doing right away, which is very, very useful, especially if you don't want to waste your time. So thank you for listening. Check us out at updocmedia.com. Again, we really appreciate all the reviews we've gotten on iTunes. We've been in the top 20 medical podcasts for a few weeks now. You know, we've hit number one. So that's really cool. So thanks so much for all you for all the listeners and the reviews, but please keep the reviews coming. We keep putting out the regular content. As Neil said, we're not going to miss any. So, you don't have to worry about that, but we really appreciate you supporting us by leaving us reviews and all the Twitter comments and conversations, because we really love connecting with you guys. So again, thank you so much, and we'll catch you next time.